Hello, good morning. Let's turn to Psalm 136. We're going to do something a little different. If you have your Bibles with you, Psalm 136 is song sung during the temple, and the Levites would speak one line, and then the whole congregation would respond with, "For his loving kindness is everlasting." So let's do that, okay? So take out your Bibles. We're using the New American Standard. So I'm going to say a line, and you guys follow along. There's 26 of them, okay? So you ready? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the Lord, God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him who alone does great wonders. To him who made the heavens with skill. To him who spread out the earth above the waters. To him who made the great lights. The sun to rule by day. The moon and stars to rule by night. To him who smote the Egyptians in their firstborn. And brought Israel out from their midst. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder. And made Israel pass through the midst of it. But he overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. To him who led his people through the wilderness. To him who smote great kings and slew mighty kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and gave their land as a heritage, even a heritage to Israel, his servant, who remembered us in our low estate, and has rescued us from our adversaries, who gives food to all flesh. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Amen. Other passages say his mercy endures forever. That probably sounds a little more poetic, but we'll just follow along the version that we have. So Psalm 136 is what they, I guess in our English, we would say the Hallelujah Psalm. Hallel, coming from the word for worship and praise. Obviously, Hallelujah is not listed or not mentioned here, but it's still considered the Hallelujah Psalm. Like I mentioned, they would sing this in the temple. So you can imagine, you know, during the feast, the priests would come. They would offer up songs, and this is if you I don't know if you guys ever grew up in like more traditional churches, I mean a lot of Korean churches still do this. They do responsive reading, and so where the minister would or whoever is leading would say a verse of scripture, and then the people would respond another verse. That actually comes from the Old Testament. This is what they did, or this is part of it. And so this is just one of those psalms of just a responsive time. And so worship to the Israelites was not just necessarily considered to be a one-on-one thing. I think this is a problem that we have in the modern church, that most people think their relationship with God is just personal. Right? Personal is a bad word, is individual, right? And so the idea is that, it's just me and my relationship with God. Have you ever seen seen a movie, or you see like an interview, a documentary with some serial killer or something, or some gang member that's killed like 10 people, and if you notice, they all have the same tattoo on, right? And it just simply says, "Only God is my judge," right? In other words, right, the idea is it's just between me and God. It's like their whole idea, obviously, I don't think they're Christians, but our whole idea is like everything is just very individual. But we can see from Psalms like this and passages. I mean, actually, it's the kind of the narrative of the scriptures that our faith, even though it's personal, it's done and operated corporately. And even in this worship, there's a corporate element that's coming together that we all gather together and we all worship. This is why, I mean, let's just be really honest. This is why sitting at home and watching a sermon just doesn't work. It works if you're out of town and you want to, you know, dial in and that type of stuff. But if you're able to come, it's almost ridiculous because now you've made faith individual again, right? Instead of something that's corporate. And so we see the psalmist, he comes out and it always starts with, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." And then the next one, "Give thanks to the God of gods for his loving kindness." And then, "Give thanks to the Lord of lords." These are all the names of God, Jehovah, Adonai, Elohim. And the psalmist is just really relaying different aspects of who God is. And worship, the primary heart of worship is really relaying the different aspects, the different characters, or the different characteristics of God to him. And so we'll sing songs like, "Lord, you are good." We're relaying a characteristic of God, really in this way, the nature of God, and we're offering. That's what worship, I mean, that's what good worship is. You know what bad worship is? Bad worship is when it's just all focused on us. You know, "I will do this, I will do that." I mean, I like those songs as well, but it doesn't really encompass this heart. It's about him. It's not about us. It's not about what we do, right? You know, "I will stand in the assembly." Well, who cares if you're going to stand in the assembly, right? You know, we want to worship God. We want to talk about God's goodness and God's power and God's glory and his love and his mercy and his forgiveness. Are you leading worship today, Matt? You would have picked a good one, bro, right? You know, after this. And so you guys understand what I'm saying, right? That's the heart of worship. And you see the psalmist is, man, let's give thanks. Let's all give thanks to God who is good. It's focused on his character, on his goodness, on his power. And so, you know, the first part is just kind of dealing with his character, his goodness, his loving kindness. By the way, the loving kindness, we know, we taught on it many times, is the Hebrew chesed. And this is covenant loyalty, it's mercy, it's love, it's grace. There's so many different aspects of this that's kind of encapsulated in this word. As I mentioned before, when they were creating the English Bible, the King James, they really struggled with trying to find, because this is really the primary word by which God related to his people Israel. And so they just couldn't figure out any kind of word for it, so they made up a word. They created a word. This word, loving kindness. It didn't exist before the King James. And it encapsulates in many ways multifaceted kind of the covenant love or the covenant loyalty that God had for his people. It wasn't so much that the people, right, had covenant loyalty with God, but it was that God, even despite Israel's sins, Israel's mistakes, Israel's failures, God was bound by this covenant loyalty, this chesed, this mercy, this grace, this loving kindness that was laid out. And so that's what they're singing about. They're singing about God's care, God's love, God's kindness, God's grace, God's mercy over the Israelites. Like, God chose on his own accord to love Israel despite Israel's failures. And then quite simply, we can actually just remove Israel and just put us, your name, or the church in that same way. And so we can recognize that even, right, Timothy says, Paul says in Timothy, even when we're faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. What is that talking about? It's talking about chesed. It's talking about his covenant loyalty. Even if we blow it, even if we mess up, God's love is still there because he operates out of covenant loyalty. And so give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. You cannot understand goodness outside of God. It just doesn't exist. And so that's why a lot of people, they make their own determination of what is good and what is evil. And so, but you cannot get that outside of God unless you get a revelation, you understand who God is. You truly will not understand what goodness is. Because if it's outside of the parameter of God, goodness to you will be just your own version or your own opinion or your own marker. But we say, it says in the beginning, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. We give thanks to the God of gods. All right, give thanks to the Lord of lords. All this, you know, Elohim, Adonai. And to him who alone does great wonders, to him who made the heavens with skill, to him who spread the earth above the waters, to him who made the great lights, the sun to rule by day, the moon, stars to rule by night, and whom, okay, so verse 9. So obviously, the first 9 verses, what's he talking about? He's talking about creation. The psalmist is taking the Genesis narrative and one by one just laying out the narrative and then offering thanks. And then for the next part, from 12 down to a bit, he's recounting God's interactions with Israel. Now remember, the central experience of the Jews that marks them, that God has them remember over and over again, was the Exodus. So you'll find in the songs, all throughout the prophetic books, you know, all throughout, you'll find them always going back and remember the Exodus. Remember, we were slaves. We were crying out. We were dying. And then God rescued us. And he brought us out from Egypt into the promised land. And so the Exodus is really their focal point of their experience with God in many ways. And so, of course, what does the psalmist do? He recounts the Exodus. He says, to him who smote the Egyptians and their firstborn and brought Israel out of their midst, right, with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. Obviously, this is talking about Moses, you know, with the staff that he stretches out. You know, and to him, verse 13, to him who divided the Red Sea asunder and made Israel pass through the midst of it. The word divided there is an interesting word. It's literally like cut in half. This is the same word that's used when Solomon, remember a baby was brought to Solomon, and Solomon said, just divide the baby. And so it's the same idea. You can see the might of God just literally dividing the sea in this way. By the way, if you've ever seen, there's the movie, I think it's a DreamWorks movie, The Prince of Egypt, where they animate that. From my understanding, it took illustrators 2 years to animate, to illustrate the parting of the Red Sea. It's really beautiful work that they laid out there. And I think the people that were working on that, some of them were Christians. They wanted to make sure that it was beautiful and that it was right. And so he divides the sea. It made Israel pass through the midst of it. And then it's important in 15, but he overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. Now, this is a really important point. You know, there's liberal scholars, liberal Christian scholars. I wouldn't really call them Christians because they're liberals. But, you know, they downplay miracles. And so, one of the prominent scholars said, you know, basically that it was low tide. And so, you know, God didn't really divide the sea. It was just really low tide. There was some meteorology, you know, just kind of all this nonsense. And so they basically just walked through shallow waters. And so when this person was being debated, you know, the proper Christian scholar said, wow, praise God. You know, and the guy's like, what do you mean? Well, praise God. You know, because that means he drowned Pharaoh's army in a puddle of water, right? So, you know, like you can't have it both ways. You know what I mean? Either, you know, right, if the Israelites yeah, you know, walked on shallow water. Wow, then God destroyed the Pharaoh army in shallow water. There's a miracle one end or the other end, right? You can't have it both ways. And so obviously he's recounting they walked through the midst of it, and then he overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. And he led his people through the wilderness. Again, this is the Exodus. And then he smote great kings. He slew mighty kings, Sihon and Og. These were the same men mentioned, or at least Og was, and Sihon, in chapter 135. And it's because these were the first of the conquests into Canaan, into this promised land. And they were the most formidable. And once Sihon and Og were destroyed, then the Israelites are like, wow, God is really with us in this place. And so he smote these great kings, right? And he gave their land as a heritage, and even a heritage to Israel, his servant, and who remembered, and then verse 23, the last part here, he says, and who remembered us in our lowest state. This is so important to recognize, right? That God met us. You know, people say, you hear this time, you know, have you found Jesus? And that's actually a very, very incorrect statement. We don't find Jesus. Jesus finds us, right? We are in a lowest state. We don't know who God is. There's none righteous, not one. No one seeks after God. No one seeks after God. And it was really the mercy and the grace or the loving kindness of God that actually that we opened our hearts up to him. He remembered us in our low estate. And he has rescued us from our adversaries, our enemies. He gives food to all flesh. In other words, he's not just the deliverer, he's also the provider. Right? He rescued us from our adversaries. He gives food to all flesh. I don't know about you, but every time I watch like Discovery Channel or National Geographic, and you see, you know, kind of all the animals and I really like the ones with the insects. And I mean, it's really amazing to see that God creates this whole cycle of life. You know, like even for me, I hate mosquitoes. I mean, mosquitoes, we should just get rid of them. But if we get rid of them, we would destroy our ecosystem because a lot of animals eat these mosquitoes. And, you know, and these mosquitoes eat us. And so but every part of this is really laid out, and we need to recognize it. And so he gives food to all flesh. Give thanks to the God of heaven. Right? Give thanks to the Lord, right, who creates everything for us. And then, you know, what a great way to end, who reserves heaven for his faithful. Amen? And so let's close our eyes. Let's think about today as Matt leads us in a song. Let's count our blessings. Let's think about all these things that we should be giving God thanks for. Our salvation, Jesus Christ, most importantly. Our families, our church, our leaders, our parents, our health, our jobs, our livelihoods, our friends. Let's give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, His love endures forever. For He is that's been reborn. His love endures forever. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever. Forever. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever. From the rising. Rising to the setting sun, His love endures forever. By the grace of God, we will overcome. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. You alone, forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is faithful. Forever. Forever. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever. Oh. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever. From the rising to the setting sun, His love endures forever. By the grace of God, we will overcome. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. You alone sing praise. Sing praise. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever, forever. Oh, forever You are faithful. Forever are strong. Forever You are with us. Forever, forever, forever You are faithful. Forever You are strong. Oh, forever You are with us. Forever, Lord, we look to You.
Now in our prayers, let's give thanks, for He is good. He is a good, gracious Father who shares His heart shares all good things with us. Let's just continue to give thanks.